me. Sorry. Do you speak English?
No, I don't. Sorry.
The feeling we only record tired podcasts now. We changed from having a cocktail sometimes with our podcast to coffee and tiredness.
Have we begun?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm super motivated because I have a great topic.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, firstly, welcome to the Easy English podcast.
Welcome.
We hope you're all well and not as sleepy as us, but also as motivated as us.
I'm not even sleepy. The coffee does help. Okay.
I think it's because the shutter that sort of works for the window that for the room that we're in is broken. I broke that. And we seem to be breaking a lot of things at the moment. You said it last night, we're a bad omen at the moment.
I think so.
We also, don't tell your parents, broke their fridge.
We didn't.
Someone did.
Well, I think the fridge was broken. We were just being the unlucky ones to be there when the last hit.
Here's a good idiom for you.
Yes.
We have been the straw that broke the camel's back.
I know that one. I don't have to use my buzzer. I know it.
Okay, good. What is it that you want to bring to the Easy English podcast today? Is it a new section?
Yes, it is.
Ooh.
So I know we discuss culture a lot of times, and we have the culture club where we recommend British things or British series or anything cultural. But last time we spoke about Brits on Germans, and obviously we want to talk here about Brits and the British way of life. And I thought we could have a new section which is called Very British, where we talk about anything that is actually considered to be British, which could be like characteristics or like how people behave, cultural behavior, but also the way that Brits or people in Britain do things.
Okay. And so, what's the name of this called? Very British?
Very British.
Okay.
We can also call it So Very British.
Okay, I make a section which is coming in now.
So Very British.
Okay, welcome to that section.
Yes, so I will tell you things that I maybe know, maybe not know, or read about, or often heard about, and you will explain why it's so very British.
Can I stop you there?
Yes.
Before we do that, for people who are listening who are trying to improve their English and want to hear about British things and understand these British things, but maybe you need a bit of help, then we have this really clever tool which you can use with our podcast called the Interactive Transcript. And it sounds fancy, but what it is quite simple, but very useful for you. It's a way to be able to read the transcript of the podcast. But the way it is interactive is as you're listening to the podcast, the words in the transcript are highlighted as we speak. So you can follow along with the transcript. And then there is a button next to each paragraph that we're speaking. This interactive transcript will ask you what language you'd like the entire transcript translated into. And if you go to easyenglish.video/membership, you'll see that in the tier called the podcast membership, you can try a bit of it for free from our trailer we made. And if you enjoy that, then maybe you could consider becoming an Easy English podcast member.
Tip top. Can I go on?
Yeah, please.
Should I start with my first one?
Okay, let's go.
So, funnily enough, I've read a lot about it, and I read an article about British life by the sea, which is basically our life.
Oh, wow.
And there were things in it that I've never heard, and I would like you to explain.
Character traits of British people by the sea?
No, to-dos.
Ah, Okay, I'm really interested and intrigued.
Are you? I did this well. So there was a big list of things, you know, I will name some later that we all know, but there is a thing called to eat a 99 with a flake.
Oh, wow. Well done.
Explain, please.
Do you even know what it is?
Well, I've read now about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a real traditional thing. I don't know what time period this comes in, but it's part of my childhood. Typically, and people would know this, you obviously can get ice cream in like a little cardboard bucket, or if you would like, you can have it in this waffled cone made from, what even is it made from? Like a soft biscuit, but it's a bit like eating cardboard.
Oh, is it not the same that we, you know, you had ice cream in Germany, right? It's not the same waffles? Like crunchy biscuit, basically?
Yeah, but when it gets a bit wet from the ice cream, it sort of becomes like soggy cardboard.
No, that's another one.
Okay.
We don't use that.
Okay. This would explain the 99, I think.
Why?
So, because it's called a 99 because it used to, for a long time, cost 99p.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So you could go, when the ice cream man would turn up in his little wagon playing sort of, yeah, there's like musical box versions of songs.
It's psychofilm music.
And you go there with a little, with your pound coin, your quid. You'd go, Mom, can I have a quid? Ice cream man's here. And she'd give you a pound. And then you'd run and you'd say, excuse me, sir, can I have a 99, please?
Would you really say that? A 99?
Okay. Yeah, 99, please. And if you were really fancy and had an extra 50p on top of your quid, for about, I don't know, I think 120, you could get a 99 with a flake. And I think it was this much money. I think it cost this much because of like soggy cardboard, cheap ice cream. But the flake would be, I think it's made by Cadbury's. Cadbury's make this thing and it looks like a stick or a piece of poo. A hard piece of poo or a stick.
Ah, so it's like a chocolate?
A chocolate
stick.
Stick that they put in the side of the ice cream.
And you dip your ice cream? Or you dip into your ice cream?
There wasn't really a cultural way to do it because it would get quite hard in ice cream. So it become this big stick, hard stick that you get for crunch. But it would, flake is really nice. The texture of it is delicious.
I actually know from Christmas sweets from Cadbury.
Yes.
The flaky chocolate.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That would be it.
It's basically airy chocolate.
Yeah, it's very airy, smooth chocolate.
I thought it was another waffle in filled with chocolate. A waffle filled with chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's only chocolate sticking in your ice cream to make it even healthier.
I can even, in my head, it's such an iconic image of this cheap cone, cheap ice cream, but then this delicious Cadbury's chocolate sticking out of it.
And the 99er, could you decide for a flavour, or is it always like the white,
that vanilla,
soft? It's like soft ice.
Yeah.
It's always vanilla.
Always.
It cannot be, I want banana.
No. 99
cherry,
is always
chocolate.
Cheap vanilla ice.
Strawberry.
No.
Lemon.
No.
Apricot.
No.
Cookie dough.
Nope. Ice cream back in the 90s was very basic, but when you're a kid, you didn't give a Actually, to be honest, the cheaper, the better the taste usually, right?
Yeah. Could you do a little calculation how many of those you ate in your life?
A 99 with a flake or without a flake?
Well, I'd say without, because probably you had them more often, right?
A 99, probably, what, every year or in total?
In total.
Oh my God.
Every
year. this is going to explain why dental hygiene is so bad in the UK. I'd say about 20.
Okay. Well, summer's long, isn't it?
That sound of the ice cream man coming was, that is also something that's ingrained into my head. Mr. Whippy.
Okay.
That's always his name because he whips up deliciously ice cream in soggy cardboard cones. Do you have another one?
I have a lot more. We can maybe finish the by the sea, British things by the sea things. So a thing that is very Brighton, you might already know, is
Brighton Rock.
Brighton Rock.
Or a stick of rock.
I mean, they also have it not in Brighton, right? It's just buy a rock. Would you say that? To buy a rock? To eat a rock?
A stick of rock.
You kind of only buy them, do you? No one eats them in the end.
I have eaten them.
Ugh.
It's also a long hard block of rubbish.
So in the description it said a long minty sweet. I didn't know it's minty.
Maybe the traditional ones were. Maybe, was it invented in Brighton? Is that
Can
why?
You even chew them?
No. Have you ever had a gobstopper?
Oh, my teeth already hurt when I talk about it.
Did you ever have a gobstopper?
I don't know what that is.
Did you ever go to a sweet shop and buy a ball, a big hard ball of candy that you could not crunch? It's like eating marble.
Filled with something?
No. It's just like, it's almost like you're holding a block of marble and you basically just have to lick it.
And no, I don't know.
Your saliva would slowly degrade this. But the traditional ones you buy are like a long cylindrical shape and is like multicolored. And usually on the ends, it'll have written down the town or city, typically a beach town, where you've bought it from. And it's kind of a memento in a way, but you can eat it if you want. I mean, it's also another reason for the bad dental hygiene of the UK. People have probably lost teeth to these things.
It has my teeth. Okay, so other things that are really British by the sea are arcades. Do you want to say what that is? And why is it so... Why at the sea? Why?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Is it maybe because the seaside is often a tourist destination in the holidays?
Yeah.
And you want to make people have, or like kids have something to do?
Yeah. I mean, you've picked many things which back in the day were so cheap, but are now, as in cheap financially, but also aesthetically cheap.
Yeah.
And arcades fit into that. You've actually got a good little...
A bit trashy, isn't it?
...theme.
Yeah.
But now everything is really expensive. Like, I think a 99 is no longer 99p. I think it's at least £2.
It's £9.99.
Inflation. Inflation on ice creams.
Can I have a 9.99 now with a flake?
And a stick of rock, God knows. Oh my God. But arcades are... I wonder whether it's because when you go on holiday or go to these destinations, you usually take out a lot of money and you have a lot of change left over. Mm-hmm. Like a seaside town is a typical tourist destination. Everyone knows what arcades are, don't they?
No.
Really?
I didn't know the word actually... I didn't know the word before I came to Brighton, I think.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't usually go to arcades.
Oh, wow. I feel like arcades used to be quite state-of-the-art because not everyone had a PlayStation and stuff back in the day. And so there'd be games. Essentially, it's an area where you can play computer games. You can play these kind of physical challenge games where you have to put in £1 coins and you get video game guns or video game car steering wheels or hammers, and you've to like interact with this like video game machine that would be the size of a cupboard. There's even these games called like 2p machines or 10p machines, and you slot them in and you have to do it in the right amount of time, and if you put it in the right time then sometimes you'll win more 10p coins and you just keep on putting it back in and back in. It's a gateway for gambling for children. It's a great way to get children inducted into the world of gambling before they reach adulthood.
Brilliant. Yeah, so then other things are, it even said like, let seagulls steal your food. Because that does happen a lot. They're everywhere, seagulls at the British coast. I love them. Sometimes don't love them too much when they poo on my hat, when they shit at me. I've not had a seagull steal my food because I'm too, I knew the game. Too clever for that.
Everyone knows the game, but everyone underestimates how bullyish they are.
They don't care about you. They go really, I mean, yeah, fair enough. They want their food as well. So that leads us to the next thing, fish and ships.
Wow.
That's all over. That's not only the seaside, but the seaside obviously is very well known for it because where does fish come from? Blah, blah.
It's funny because the other ones are kind of stereotypes or like stereotypical things which actually British people don't tend to indulge in very often. Maybe the flake.
You just said it.
Yeah. 99.
Yeah.
But like stick of rock and the arcades is typically for tourists to do, but people associate it with English culture, where it's actually more tourist culture in England. But fish and chips actually, to be fair, is something which English people do quite frequently go out and seek. Like there's a fish and chip shop almost on every high street, on our high street where we live, and every Friday afternoon if you walk past it, people are queuing up for their fish and chip dinner. interestingly, in Brighton, there is even a vegan fish and chip place, which I would like to promote because we've had it a couple of times and it's really decent. And it's called No Catch.
Yep.
And
that is really nice.
I would defy anyone to be able to tell the difference. It's obviously very unhealthy for you, fish and chips. Like the fish is encased.
Greasy as hell.
Yeah. It's like mummified in greasy batter.
To close the seaside thing,
mm-hmm.
What is also really, like, from what you see in British seaside towns is those little beach huts.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like colorful little huts.
They're cute.
You have your beach stuff in it. Basically, you rent them for a hell lot of money. And you have your little beach stuff in it, like chairs and sun umbrella. Maybe you have water in it or electricity, not always. Yeah, and people just sit in front of it. If you live not super close to the sea, I think it's a good thing to have. And with that, also deck chairs.
Oh, yeah.
Deck chairs that you have, like that you don't bring, that are actually just standing by the beach or on the pier. That's a thing, isn't it? Who yeah. cares for the deck chairs? Are they from restaurants or so?
Or from the city, maybe. I think maybe the city even sort of manage it, and that's a good way for them to make money. Like, if you're sat on one.
Oh, for the deck chairs, you have to pay on the pier?
Yeah, sometimes.
Ugh.
Wow, that was really good. I like that. We should do this section more often because these are things which I don't spot. And you really picked it out. I like that.
Mitch's Movie Club.
So recently I watched a movie, and it's not actually a new movie. It's going to be like 10 years old soon. 20, it'll be 20 years old soon. If you were to ask me my top five favorite movies, this would absolutely be in the top five. And this is for anyone who likes thrillers. Let's call it a thriller. IMDb suggests it. Yeah, also as a thriller. And is a movie called No Country for Old Men by the Coen brothers, who are very established writers and directors. This is like a movie which follows three characters. The first character it follows is a guy called Llewellyn Moss, who is a man who's played by Josh Brolin. And he is kind of like a hunter who lives out in the kind of outback of Texas. And he manages to stumble upon $2 million of cash in a drug deal that's gone wrong and decides to keep it. And unbeknownst to him, inside this briefcase of cash is a little tracker. And he is being followed by this incredibly designed character who goes by the name of Anton Chigurh, who's played by Javier Bardem. And he is like a ruthless assassin who, just to add to the craziness of his character, carries around with him like an oxygen tank and like a hydraulic bolt. And he sort of flies through people with emotionless attitude. And he's quite a scary character with a bowl haircut. And then the final character is played by Tommy Lee Jones, who is the sheriff of this small town where all this shit is kicking off.
Is Tommy Lee Jones the Pamela Anderson guy?
No, that's Tommy Lee.
That's confusing.
And he's basically trying to understand the carnage that is unfolding. And you watch it from all perspectives of the unbeknownst Josh Brolin, who has all this money and is not quite sure how he's being followed by this insane lunatic who's leaving behind a big trail of destruction, which Tommy Lee Jones is then trying to unravel and decipher. And it's whether Tommy Lee Jones can get to Josh Brolin to help him before this serial killer basically gets to him. And it feels like what I'm explaining is this crazy action movie, but the pacing of it is really slow and really detailed. There's so many little things. You're like, oh, that's so clever. And I love those movies. It's a movie where the person in it is acting really cleverly, like they're covering their tracks, and you just always like, oh, wow, that's so clever what they're doing. And the Coen brothers are very good at making movies like this where you're kind of impressed at all three characters at their attempts to find, hide, and discover things. So yeah, that's my movie recommendation, my English movie recommendation. You will not be disappointed if you like these kind of movies, these sort of mystery thrillers.
Thank you, Mitch. Yeah. That is an amazing recommendation.
That you will never watch, easily. I know for a fact.
Okay. I think that's it for now, isn't it?
I think
time
so.
Time is up.
Time is up. Yeah. And thank you for listening. Become a member of Easy English Podcast membership if you want to listen to the after show, which is coming up next. Ta-ra!
Ta-ra, ta-ra, ta-ra.